الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Insha'Allah ta'ala, after the dua, there will be a speech in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. Insha'Allah ta'ala, it will be of great benefit. Insha'Allah ta'ala, ab dua ke baad, Mullah Khalid sahib ka bayan hoga. Tamam hazrat se guzarish ki jati hai ke zarur shirkat kare. Insha'Allah ta'ala, bohut hi ziyada faida hoga. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام واتبع يا جزيل القاسم اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ولا معطي اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسنك اللهم اعنا على حمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم اقنا
نسألك الصحة في الإيمان وإيمان في حسن الخلق ونجاة يتبعها. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا يرتد ومرافقة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وعلما نافعا وعملا صالحا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا طيبا. اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله ونسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بسخطك. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه. برحمتك يا ارحم
الراحمين.
I was thinking.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في أول كلامنا، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في أوسط كلامنا، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في آخر كلامنا، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed us with a great blessing. This blessing is the ni'mah of Iman. This blessing is the blessing of Iman. If we have Iman and we have nothing in this world and we leave this world, we are successful. But if we have everything, all the materialistic things that we have in this world, yeah, we don't have Iman, we are failure in this world and we are failure in this hereafter as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed us with this blessed month of Ramadan. And you know, we don't have value for this month. We don't have value for this month. Youngsters, Muslims, youngsters that are born into Islam, they're not interested in fasting. They're not interested in standing in Taraweeh. They're not interested in worshipping Allah. Just a couple of days ago, you know, when children, they fast, when young children, they fast. I've got daughters that fast, small daughters, they fast. And when you ask them, what do they want for iftari? What do they want for iftar? Because they're born over here, they don't understand the value of kari khichdi, do they? They don't understand the value of dal chawal, yeah? They don't understand the value of different, like biryani, chicken biryani, meat biryani. They don't understand the value because they're born over here, they like baked beans, and they like mushy peas, and they like frozen carrots. That's what they like. So I asked them, what do you want for iftari? What do you want for iftar? And what do they say? We want burger and chips. Burger and chips. For me, at iftar, burger and chips, that, you know, I'd have to think about 10 times. If my wife asked me, would you like a burger and chips for iftari? I'd be hurt. I'd think to myself that I've lived with you so many years and you don't know that. What is a burger? It's going to do nothing. But for children, it's okay. But there's a point that I'm trying to make over here. Walked into the place with my children were in the car. Walked into the place and ordered the food for the children. There's two young Muslims sitting there. Personally, I think there's nothing wrong with them. From the looks, I personally don't think there was anything wrong with them. So they were sitting like this. They had ordered their food. And iftar hasn't happened yet. The month, you know, the month of Ramadan is still going on. The food is served. They call the number out that this, your food is ready. They walk to the till. They walk to the place where they're going to pay or they've already paid. And he looks at the person that's serving and he goes, mayo. Mayo. Do you know what mayo means? Mayonnaise. He opens the lid and he goes, mayo. I was like, icky hog, yeah, mayo. And then the guy goes to him, would you like ketchup as well? Flipped the lid, bottle upside down, all over, went, sat back down, knocked it back. Said, mashallah. Look, these are Muslims. These are? You can tell clear if someone says, oh, mashallah, you didn't probably recognize him. Was he a Muslim or not a Muslim? Allah knows his intention. Look, if it was a woman, we can say that, you know, maybe. But a Muslim, young, totally fine, nothing wrong with him. And to be honest with you, to see this, it hurts. To see this, it hurts that the month of Ramadan, it's the blessed month of Ramadan, it's a beautiful month of Ramadan, there's something that's gone wrong somewhere. Don't you think? I'll tell you, look, weigh it up with this now. Weigh it up with this. Same place again. Same place again. A different day. Yesterday. There was a non-Muslim sitting there. There was a non-Muslim sitting there eating. There's a non-Muslim sitting there eating. I walk in, and you know what he does? He takes his food, and he turns his back like this. He turns his back. Why? Why do you think? Tell me, why do you think he turned his back? Someone. Respect. You know, these people are only lacking Islam. These people are only lacking Iman. They only have to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I guarantee you, they're better Muslims than us. We have no value. We have the Quran open and mashallah, he's singing away lyrics of Tupac. Not just singing, he's singing it with makhraj. He's singing Tupac lyrics with makhraj. Makhraj meaning all the, you know, T and H and everything. Pronounce it all correct. There's something that has gone wrong somewhere with us, in us. And we're not willing to change. So this is number one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with Islam. 15 days of the month of Ramadan have passed. How many days? 15 or 16. So many days of the month of Ramadan has passed. If you are only walking away from the month of Ramadan by losing weight, and majority of us don't even do that. We don't even lose weight. You weigh yourself before Ramadan and you weigh yourself after Ramadan, you've put on weight. So we don't even do that. So the benefit of losing weight, we don't even have the benefit of losing weight. So if you're walking away from the month of Ramadan, only staying hungry and thirsty, then I have to question myself. I have to sit and look in the mirror and I have to question myself, what did I gain from the month of Ramadan? What did I gain? Was it just hunger and thirst? Was it just staying hungry? Was it just staying thirsty? We practice Islam according to what we want to do. You know, today, after iftari, if you don't want to read Taraweeh, you won't read Taraweeh. It's up to you, it's up to me. And then, you know, on top of that, what do we say? I'm sure Allah will be happy with this. What do we say? We're trying to justify it. That I can only do what I can do. I can only do what I can do. I can't do any more. I can't do any more than this. What we have to remember is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not burden a soul more than He can take. Look, in the month of Ramadan, you fast in the month of Ramadan. Yeah, it's very easy. Very, very easy. You try fasting out of the month of Ramadan. I've tried it. 12 o'clock. You start getting angry. In the month of Ramadan, there's nothing. You don't feel anything. It's so easy. Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wants ease for you. Allah wants ease for you. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to struggle. So in the month of Ramadan, it's so easy. But out of the month of Ramadan, it's very hard. So this is a blessing in itself. The other day, we were talking about a Sahabi, a very close one to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was his name? Do you remember? Eh? Okay, that was a day before that. Anyone else? Come on, one more shot. Osman. One more. Osman. Come on. Hamza, the last one, the last topic that we talked about. Good. We did talk about Usman radiallahu ta'ala. You're right. We did talk about Usman. We did talk about Umar radiallahu. On the finishing sentences, we did talk about Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. But we talked about the last talk that we had. We talked about Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. And the topic was, what was it? That the Sahaba and even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they sacrificed loved ones so we are Muslims today. If they wanted to stay in Medina, they could have stayed in Medina. If they wanted to stay in Mecca, they could have stayed in Mecca. Islam would not have reached us. But they made these sacrifices. They went out of their way. You read their lives. You read the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They made sacrifices. That's why we are Muslim today. So we were talking about Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. We got to the point where Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, he went and he hit. Who did he hit? In front of Kaaba. Go on.
Abu Jahl.
Why did he hit him? Go on. Yeah, he was accusing his nephew. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his nephew. So whilst Abu Jahl attacked him, and Abu Jahl, when Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala attacked Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl was on the floor, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he was standing above him, and he says that I say what my nephew says. I am on the deen of my nephew. Ana ala deenihi. I am on the deen of my nephew. And he was angry. He wasn't thinking what he was saying. And when he walked away from there, all night he did not sleep. And he was thinking and he was pondering over what he said. Because he wasn't on the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although he used to believe in one Allah, there were people that believed in one Allah, and they did have statues around them. Okay? But he goes home. Harith Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he goes home and he thinks about what he said. And then he approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Messenger of Allah, O nephew, I believe that you are on the right deen, so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide me and instill my heart with iman. And this is exactly what happens. And then when he returns, he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am fully on your deen. And the other thing that he says to him, he says, O Messenger of Allah, you are the truthful. And from today, I am with you and I am behind you and I will support you. This is the first time Islam gained strength. This is the first time Islam gained strength. Islam gained power because of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. He said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, you can go out and you can call people towards Allah and I will be with you and I will back you. That's why there was a house that they used to gather in. Does anyone know this house's name? This house they used to gather in. Anyone? They used to gather and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach them Islam. Dar-e Arqam, who was this? MashaAllah. Yeah, the house of Arqam. The house of Arqam. So Arqam was a person's name, dar meaning house. So in the house of Arqam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would gather and he would teach the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in bits, small things about Islam. Anytime there was a knock on the door, who would go and open the door? Hazrat? Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. He would carry his bow and his sword and he would go and open the door. This is why when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, the day he accepts Islam, he comes to Dar-e Arqam and he knocks on the door. The Sahabi, the simple Sahabi, he goes to check to see who is at the door. And who does he see? Who does he see? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And what does Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala have with him? His sword. This Sahabi, when he sees Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala through the door, he rushes back. And he says, O Messenger of Allah, he says, it's Umar. He says, Umar is here, radiallahu ta'ala an. And then who gets up and opens the door? Who gets up? No, who else? Hazrat Hamza, radiallahu ta'ala, and he picks his bow up, and he picks his sword up, and he walks towards the door, and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it's Umar. If Umar comes with any good, he will leave with good. And if Umar comes to harm us or with evil, then we will deal with him over here. So this is Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. I told you the other day he was very strong. He was powerful. People feared him. The day he accepted Islam, people feared him from that day. And then many Muslims, because they were troubled, tortured, when they left Mecca, they left in hiding. They left at night time. They left in hiding. that in case any of the people of Mecca find out and their lives become even harder. But Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, when the day that he leaves, he goes to Baytullah, he goes to the house of Allah, and he stands and he says, let it be known, I am leaving for Medina, I am doing Hijrah. He says, let it be known. He says, anyone that wants to come, one to one, come, fight me. Allahu Akbar. He wasn't scared of anyone. People feared him. He made an open elan. He made an open announcement. What was the name Hamza? Remember I told you that day, what does Hamza mean?
Attacking lion.
Yeah, an attacking lion. A lion that attacks its prey. That was his name. He wasn't scared of anyone. When they left for Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he paired Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an with another Sahabi. Does anyone know the name of the other Sahabi? And they made him brothers. Anyone? Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala an was the adopted son at that time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Zayd ibn Haritha and Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an like Islamic brothers, okay? And they were handed to the people of Ansar. Ansar, the people of Ansar, would take care of them. Hazrat Hamza, the famous battle when we talk about is the Battle of Badr, okay? But before the Battle of Badr, when they left Mecca and they went to Medina, before the Battle of Badr, there were a couple of occasions where Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was made a leader and he was sent out. There was two occasions. Look, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een left Mecca, who's travelled in an AC car, full AC car from Mecca to Medina? Who's travelled in a full AC, nice, cool car? Who's travelled? No one? No one been for Umrah? Right, one in the back. Anyone else? Have you been to Umrah, yeah? So when we travel from Mecca to Medina, we sit in a full AC car. We don't sit in the car unless it's got AC. We book the best. Even if it's a coach, we book the best. Even if it's a van, we book the best. But these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, when they migrated from Mecca to Medina, they didn't have fast cars. They didn't have that bullet train. You know, you just sit inside and you close your eyes and I'll just sleep on the way and your eyes open and you're there. They didn't have that. They had to travel. Some of them by feet. Some of them by camels. So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, when they left, they sacrificed everything, they left everything behind. Everything behind. So when they went to Medina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to them that if any caravan travels from Mecca, when you find out that a caravan is traveling from Mecca to Yemen, not to Yemen, Sham, Syria, when they're traveling over there, and if you find out, and you know, if you want to take or attack them, that's fine. At that moment in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them permission. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, on two occasions, he was the flag bearer sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam two times. This was before the Battle of Badr. One time he went with 30 people, and Abu Jahl was in that caravan, and they were taking all these things to Asham to sell. And then they met a person at a place called Juhayna, and he sent them both separate ways. He says to Hazrat Hamza, go back to Medina, and he says to Abu Jahl, you carry on. Second time again, similar situation. They went to attack a caravan again, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, but no, they came back without attacking it, and they came back to Medina. Then came the Battle of Badr. We're talking about Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and we're talking about the Battle of Badr now. In the Battle of Badr, the Sahaba were very few. And the disbelievers, they were multiple in numbers. There were about 1,000. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een were only 313. And at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had nothing. They had nothing, no means to fight, no means to travel, no means for food, no nothing. But they got there where they got, and the place that they stopped was a place called Badr. And the Muslims, they took all over the wells, and they, you know, took care of themselves. And then the disbelievers came. And they had no chance. Then they seen the Sahaba very small in number, and they said, today we are gonna finish these Muslims off. This is the night when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he cries to to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he say? He says, Ya Allah, if these Muslims today, if these handful of people, if we lose these handful of people today, then after today, no one is ever going to say your name again. No one will say your name again. And he says, Ya Allah, help us. It's a long story. We're not looking at that. Then the angels came. We're not looking at that. But Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he was over there with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. On the other side, there was a person called Al-Aswad bin Abdul Asad. Al-Aswad bin Abdul Asad. And this person, he says, when they land near Badr, he says that, watch what I do to the Muslims. I'm going to go straight through the Muslims, and I'm going to go and I'm going to take water and I'm going to come back. And he says, the Muslims will not touch me. When he makes his way towards the well in Badr, towards the Muslims, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he finishes him there and then. He finishes him. He slices both of his legs off. And he finishes him. Look, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and they say about Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and the swords that he used to carry, it takes two people to carry that one sword today. It takes how many people? Two people. That's two strong people to carry one sword. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he was known for carrying two swords, one in each hand. Allahu Akbar. One in each hand. This is what you call true power. You know, if we were to carry two things, at iftari time or sahri time, so many times it happens with me, you go in the kitchen and the wife says, carry two, three things, and before you know it, you've tripped up, smashed your head, and you're saying, oh, why are you telling me to carry everything? You are in the kitchen, you come out with it. We can't multitask. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he used to have two swords. And Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he used to love hunting. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he had a feather from an ostrich. Have you seen an ostrich? Small one, a big one? What is the size of an ostrich's egg? No, not that big. It's massive. An ostrich egg. Big egg. Okay? So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he used to have a feather from an exotic ostrich. And in the battle, he used to put his feather over here on his chest, or he used to put this feather on his helmet. This was a sign to tell people, bring it on. This was a sign to tell people, if we were in a battle, we'll hide behind someone. If we're in a battle, we'll say, Tu Aggeja, you're strong, mashallah, you're the Don of Bradford, you go forward, you're really good. We'll hide behind him. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he used to have this sign. Used to be this feather over here, or a feather of a big ostrich, big feather. And he used to carry it with him, and he used to say to people, this is me. If you want to fight me, if you want a one-to-one with me, come, bring it on. In the Battle of Badr, we find that the Muslims, they got the upper hand. We know the story. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Battle of Badr was won by the Muslims. Okay, and before the actual battle started, they used to have a one-to-one. A one-to-one. There were three people, Utbah, Shaybah, and there was another person from the disbelievers that came out. And they said, give us the three of your best. The three of your best. From the Ansar, three people went forward for a one-to-one. But then Utbah says, no, we don't want these. Give us better than them. Give us people that are on our level. And then for Utbah came Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. For Shaybah came Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And for another person came another Sahabi. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala finished him off in seconds. Utbah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in seconds again. Finished him off. The third Sahabi, he was hurt. And because of that, at a later stages, he passed away. But the three people on the opposition, they passed away. They were killed. Straight away. Now what you have to remember is Utbah, he was a very famous person. And he had a daughter called Hind. Or Hazrat Hinda. Hinda at that time. He had a daughter called Hind. So because the role that Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and played in the Battle of Badr, he was, you know, they wanted him killed. They wanted him dead. So when they went back to Makkah, when the people lost, when the disbelievers lost and they went back to Makkah, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an was top of the list. Was top of the list to be finished in the next battle. So then comes, I'm just speeding it up, then comes the battle of Uhud. Then comes the battle of Uhud. And in the battle of Uhud, what happens in the battle of Uhud? The disbelievers come again, the second time, to fight the Muslims again. But this time they come with the intention to win. This time they come with the intention to win. How do we know that they came with the intention to win? They brought barrels. They brought barrels of wine. They brought barrels of wine on the camels. They brought barrels of wine. They brought women to sing and dance. And they brought little children to sing and dance because they knew this time we're going to go all out and we're going to finish the Muslims. We're going to finish the Muslims. So they came with singing women and they came with like different types of foods and they came with barrels of wine. And when they came for Uhud, when they came to Uhud, they wanted to finish all the Muslims off. At the top of the list was Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Now listen to me carefully. Over here, there was a person called Wahshi. There was a person called Wahshi. We're going to talk about him and then we're going to talk about the later stages of his life. This person was a slave, a servant. This person was a slave of a person called Jubair bin Mut'im. Jubair bin Mut'im said to him, "You want to be free? You want to be free? You want freedom? I want you to kill Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And you have to kill Hamza. If you kill Hamza, I will set you free." Okay? Secondly, there was another person, Hind. Her father was killed in Badr. She wanted revenge. She said to Wahshi that if you kill this person and if you give me his body parts, especially his liver, if you give me his liver and I will give you a large amount of things. So look, Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an, we're going to say radiallahu ta'ala an, but at that time he wasn't a believer. He says that all I wanted was freedom. And with freedom I wanted wealth. And he says I was promised both of these things. He says when we got to the battle of Uhud, there was some people, some Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that was standing as archers on a little mountain, protecting the Sahaba and everything. We have no say in this. They did what they did and it was a command of Allah. We're looking at the story of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, I wanted freedom and he says, I wanted loads and loads of wealth. He says, my sole purpose on that battlefield that day was to finish Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, I seen him from far. He had both swords in his hand and he was finishing the people. Two-thirds of the people that passed away on the disbelievers' side that day were killed by Hazrat Hamza radiallahu. Two-thirds of the people were killed by Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. He says, I seen him from far. I hid behind a stone. And then I was waiting for a chance. I was waiting for a chance that Hamza radiallahu ta'ala would be exposed so I could attack him. Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, he was very good with his spear. Very, very good with his spear. So he says, I wasn't bothered about anyone. All I wanted, my target was Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And he says, I seen him from far and I was watching him. He was fighting like a lion. He says, for a moment, just for a moment in time, his armor was lifted above his lower abdomen. Oh, you know the lower part of his stomach? Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala's armor was just lifted a touch. He says, I was close enough to throw my spear. My spear went through the front and it came out of the back. This is the, you know, when we say that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they sacrificed so much for us. He was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were both nursed by the same person, Hazrat Thuwayba. They were both nursed by the same person, Thuwayba. He says this spear went straight through Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and he says it came on the other side. He says, I was watching Hamza. He says he dropped to the ground. He dropped to the ground. He says, Hamza looked at me radiallahu ta'ala and he says, he got up again. He says he lifted his sword and he says he chased me. Allahu Akbar. Allah, if that was me, you know, you're fasting and you pick something. Your wife says, oh, can you just get me the needle from there? Yeah, with the taga in it. And you go and you prick yourself. And oh, you get a call. Masab, I pricked myself with the needle. Am I allowed to break my rosa? Am I allowed to? My blood is coming out. Am I allowed to break my rosa? Allahu Akbar. These were real soldiers. Me and you were plastic. Baked beans, khaki, mushy peas. You got fish and chips. Put some more baked beans on, piare. Put some more baked beans on. I'll pay extra. Put some more mushy peas on. I'll pay extra. These were real soldiers. He says the spear went through him. He says, I seen the spear go through him. And he goes, he dropped to the ground. He got up and he chased me. He chased me. But he goes, because he was hurt so bad, he dropped to the ground. He says, I left. My job was done. I was a free man. The wealth that was promised to me is promised. He said, that my job done. He goes, I didn't want anything else. But you know, the worst thing is that the Sahaba radiallahu, there were 70 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that passed away that day. The disbelievers, they came straight away. When they took over, the disbelievers came. Every single Sahabi's ears, nose, tongue and body, limbs, they were cut. Not just Hazrat Hamza radiallahu. You know, we so many times we hear that, oh, it was only Hazrat Hamza radiallahu. It wasn't, it was all the Sahaba. The nose, the ears, the hands, the fingers, the body, the limbs. And they danced over the Sahaba. They drank over the Sahaba. And you know, me and you, we say, oh, tomorrow I'm working. I won't be able to fast. Me and you, we say, we can't fast tomorrow because I'm working. What are you doing at work? It's an easy job, bro. So why are you not fasting? You know, it's hard, bro. Long days. You're not even outside. You're not even outside. It's a long... Sahaba, look, every single one of them was mutilated. Their nose, their ears. Look, the Sahaba, they were laying in this place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was watching them from Uhud. You know, the mountain of Uhud. He was watching them. Imagine seeing your loved ones there in a bad state and you can't do anything for them. Imagine seeing that. Imagine seeing your loved ones, the people doing this to your loved ones, and you cannot do anything. You have to watch. And then after a time, the disbelievers, they leave. And then Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come down. And everyone's looking for his loved one. Who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking for? He is looking for Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Hamza radiallahu, he was mutilated in such a bad way you could not recognize him. You could not recognize him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood and he cried. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cry. But he says that day, they say that day, it was a different type of crying. We never heard him cry like this ever before. And then Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, he had a sister, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was running. She was running. And she says that, what's happened to Hamza? What's happened to Hamza? What's happened to Hamza? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends her son Zubair. And he says to him that, tell her to just stay away, stay away, stay away. So Zubair radiallahu ta'ala is telling his mother that, you know, don't come, don't come, don't come. But she's pushing him and she's rushing. And then Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala and says that it's the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can't come. You can't see this. And she stops there and then. And then she hands him the coffin, and then they go and then they cover Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and they bury him. Look, 70 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed their janazah salah 10 at a time. 10 at a time. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an was with every single one again and again and again. In a janazah namaz, how many takbirat are there in janazah namaz? 7 or 8? Huh? 4. Okay, there's 4 takbir when the imam says Allahu Akbar. I say 7 and 8 just to catch you out, yeah. MashaAllah, you guys know it, yeah. 4 takbirat on Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala for the prayer, janazah prayer for Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did 70 takbir. You think that me and you are going to be on the same level as him? Honestly, do you think that we're going to be on the same level of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Umar bin Khattab and Hazrat Hamza? Look at the sacrifices that they made. We can't make them sacrifices. You know, sometimes sit in front of the mirror and ask yourself, are you a true Muslim? What have you got to show? What have you got to show for yourself? You know, look at our salah. Anyway, carrying on, 70 times he read, 10 times he read janazah salah, 70 takbirat, 70 takbirat. You couldn't recognize the Sahaba. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was buried first. Then a person called Abdullah. Then the people that passed away, the Sahaba that passed away, they were buried in according to their memorization of the Quran. So the more you knew Quran, the closer, the first you were buried, they were buried, you know, earlier, first, like that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he returns to Medina. I'm just speeding it up a little bit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns to Medina. And every single one in Medina has a loved one that has passed away. Every single one. These people had migrated. So their families, Banu Hashim, they were in Mecca. So the people of Medina, they were wailing and they were crying at the loss of their loved ones. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was walking the streets and he says, "Tabakuna qatalakum." He says, everyone is crying over their loved one that has passed away. He says, "Wa ammi Hamza la bawaki ala." He says, my uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, there's no one crying for him. There's no one crying for him. People had loved ones that had passed away that they were crying for. And he says, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, there's no one that is crying for him. When the people of Medina, they heard this, they circled the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they were wailing and they were crying. And the wahi came down, they were told, then Jibreel alayhi salam came down, that this wailing is not allowed. This type of wailing is not allowed. And the last person that anyone was allowed to wail for was Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and after that no wailing was allowed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he seen his uncle on the battlefield martyred, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for every single person that has been martyred over here, we're going to take revenge. We're going to take 70 for 70. If we ever get a chance, we're going to take 70 of theirs, and we're going to do exactly the same thing to them. You have to remember, in the Battle of Badr, their captives, the people of Makkah, their captives, they were set free. If you remember, in the Battle of Badr, the people that the Muslims, you know, captured, they set them all free. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, look what they did to our people. Look, that Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala, and she cut the ears of Hazrat Hamza, his nose, his tongue, and she sliced his chest, she pulled out his liver, and in revenge she bit his liver and she spat it out. And you know, his body organs, you know, the ears and that, she put them through a necklace, and she used to wear a necklace like this. That's the type of people they were. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted revenge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it's better to have sabr. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did sabr, what happened? At the time of Fatah Makkah, the same person, Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala, she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she says, O Messenger of Allah, is there forgiveness for me? Allahu Akbar. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She comes at the time of Fatah Makkah, the same woman that, you know, she cut the body parts of Hazrat Hamza and she wore it as a necklace. She danced and she just sang. And she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Fatah Makkah, and she says, O Messenger of Allah, I am Hinda. I am the one that had a part to play with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and death. She says, is there forgiveness for me? And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? Go, you are forgiven. Then this is a long story. Then she complains about her husband, Abu Sufyan. But there was forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. You know, the person that threw the spear, whose name was Wahshi, radiallahu ta'ala, and as long as he lived, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, he called him towards Islam three times. He sent a person, he says, go, tell Wahshi, accept Islam. And Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala said no. He sent him a second time, said no. Sent him the third time, he didn't answer. And then one day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. He's sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and they don't know. A person comes, face totally covered. And he sits in front of Rasulullah, directly in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he removes his scarf and he removes his hat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks him one question. He says, Awahshiyun anta? He says, are you Wahshi? Look, he's come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, yes. He says, are you the one that killed my uncle? He says, yes. He says, tell me, how did you kill him? And then Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, and he tells him. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I accept you into the fold of Islam, but it's okay. Just please don't show me your face. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, and he lives in a place in Syria which is called Hims. Two things that I'm going to finish off with. Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala, and the one that was behind the killing of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who led her janaza salah? Does anyone know? Who led her janaza salah? Go on. Very close. Who led her janaza salah? Yeah, are you just guessing? Yeah. Well, good guess. fist bump. Look, Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala, she accepted Islam. Her janazah salah was led by one of the best. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Allahu Akbar. These people, look, they did wrong. But they're still guaranteed paradise. They're still guaranteed paradise. Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an led her janazah salah. What better thing than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there was a prophet after me, who would it be? Umar. He led her janazah salah. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an. Who led his janazah salah? Huh? Hazrat Umar again. You know, today we say, you know, so many times I got a call, right? No caller ID. Hanji bol ki ogya tenuhun. Yeah. Is Allah going to forgive me? Why won't He forgive you? Is Allah going to forgive me? Why will He not forgive you? Compare yourself. Compare yourself with Hazrat Hamza. You know, compare yourself with Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha. Compare yourself with Washi radiallahu ta'ala an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He laughs at many occasions. He laughs at many occasions. One of the occasions that He laughs at is when a murderer and the murdered both end up in paradise. When the murderer and the murdered. So Hazrat Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha, where is she going to go? She's going to be in paradise. Where's Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anha? He's going to be in paradise. Allah smiles at this. These are people that made... they made their paradise. We've done nothing. Apart from staying hungry and thirsty, we do nothing. Our fasts, to be Allah accept it. But the amount of ghibah that we do, the amount of backbiting that we do, the amount of talking bad. A young lad walks through the door, like I said to you the other day, he's got an earring in his ear. You know, oh look, he's come to the mosque, he's got an earring in. Tenuki, did you pay for it? What's it to you? Has he come to your house or has he come to the house of Allah? He's come to the house of Allah. So, you know, some things need to change. As Muslims, some things need to change. We need to value, we need to be grateful for our iman. We need to be grateful for our iman. We need to be thankful to Allah for our iman. I've got to make my way back, inshallah. So I will see you soon, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.